Hey everyone, it's Stephen, and we're back with a special edition of Deep Dive. We want to speak to candidates who are stepping into politics for the very first time. Who are they? Why have they chosen this life? With me in studio today is Alyssa Chen. She's standing on the PAP ticket.
Hi.
41-year-old mother who was a former school teacher and a journalist. And now Alyssa runs Campus Impact, a social service agency which supports children from lower income families. So welcome to Deep Dive, Alyssa.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks for having me.
So we're going to do like a bit of a standard job interview. We really want to use this as a chance for people to get to know you a bit more. Describe yourself in three words.
Ah, okay. I would say I'm authentic. I am grounded.
Okay.
And I care. Actually, some of my volunteers gave me three G's.
What was that?
Genuine, grounded, growing, because they wanted to bring out the nurturing part.
Yeah.
But then it wasn't quite a G, so I was like, okay, never mind.
You have been in this social service space for quite some time. And with this organization, Campus Impact, very quickly tell us a bit about the work that you do there.
Yeah, Campus Impact was set up to serve children from lower income families.
Okay.
We want to build strong children, strong families, and a strong society. So we take care of kids every day from weekdays. We try to get them in after school so that they have a safe space. They're surrounded by safe adults.
Okay.
And we give them meaningful curriculum.
Are these vulnerable children? Or?
Yes, many of them are. We also have satellite centres.
Right.
So we work with Comlink, Social Service Office, to reach out to more of these kids, especially those living in rental flats, so that they get the opportunities that they need.
And how did you end up doing this?
Yeah, as with much that happens in my life, I kind of am kicked into it. I was actually a school teacher.
Okay.
And I thought that I could make a difference by volunteering. So I was teaching English in Campus Impact. It was started up by a group of friends from church, set up by my church. And we you know, wanted to just give back to the community. So that's when I was serving on the board. But beyond serving on the board, I wanted to do groundwork. So I started teaching an English class. From then, the previous ED stepped down.
Okay.
And then I actually voted to close the center down.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, because I was frustrated at the lack of impact. It was very quiet.
Right.
It's been around for many years, since 2006.
Okay.
But, you know, we just weren't making much headway. I think also because we were quite introverted.
Okay.
So I think it takes someone who's a little bit more extroverted.
So do you think you are that person who can make an impact?
Ah, in Campus Impact.
Yeah, I mean, you talked about how it was not making an impact and that's why you had voted to close it down at the time.
Yeah, I was frustrated. Yeah. And as board members, we were giving financially to the initiative also. And it just wasn't, I wasn't seeing that many children coming in and it was quite quiet. So interestingly, I think sometimes when you do things like that, you get arrowed to take on the job. So that's what happened. Instead of closing it down, I was tasked to build it up. So one of my first jobs was to ensure that we started getting kids in, started getting volunteers, donors. So that was a big part of the work. And you know, back then, no one really knew who we were. So it was really an uphill task. It was really hustling, you know, going out there, knocking on doors, cold calling people.
Okay, but you took on the challenge.
I did, yeah. And it's turned out to be one of the most rewarding things I've done in my life. So never say never. And I think, you know, just try to put yourself out there.
Is that sort of the kind of spirit you have in you? This kind of never say never attitude? Is that why politics is also something you're thinking?
Yeah, so I got kicked into politics.
Okay, literally, I mean, why did you decide to jump into this race?
I didn't decide.
Okay, it was decided for you.
No, okay, let me tell you the story. I'm sure it's a pretty open secret now that occasionally, from time to time, certain people get called up for tea sessions. So I didn't know what a tea session was. I thought it was literally have tea and give feedback.
Yeah, I mean, they probably serve tea at the meeting too.
They did. Which was extra confusing for me. Is this a tea session or not? And I thought it was a Forward SG conversation because that was when PM Lawrence Wong was like pushing out Forward SG initiatives. I thought they were trying to consult social service leaders and people from different segments of the society.
Right.
then halfway through, I was like, the questions they're asking are pretty weird.
Okay.
Then I thought, okay, what's the agenda of this meeting? They couldn't tell me.
Oh.
Or they wouldn't tell me.
They wouldn't tell you.
Yeah, so they just said it was tea.
How many of you were having tea?
Seven of us.
Okay.
Four MPs and three regular people.
Wow, literally a tea party.
Yeah, so after that, then okay. I think in the lift down, I asked the others who were there, what was that all about?
Yeah.
Then they said, oh, it's an interview to be an MP. And I started laughing. Ha, 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 ha. Okay, I guess that's the last tea session I'll go to. But then one tea session led to the next. And then here I am.
Did they serve better tea at the next one?
No, they served water.
What kind of tea session is this? Horrible,
no, but I think that's the thing about teas, right? It's not so much about what you're drinking, or it's the conversations that you're having, the connections that you're developing.
So you actually never really saw yourself in politics?
Never.
And when the opportunity came about, why choose this party, the PAP, versus one of the other parties?
Mm. So I had some time to also get to know many of the PAP party members.
Okay.
Initially, honestly, I was quite resistant.
Mm.
The typical descriptions of paternalistic, out of touch, all these things like that. It made me feel like that towards the party.
Okay.
But when you actually get to know them, I don't know, there's a deep sense of respect.
Get to know the party or get to know the people?
Well, the people are the party, aren't they?
Yeah,
yeah. So as I got to know them one by one through tea sessions also, then I realized, hey, these are people who actually really care.
Mm.
And these are people who have been giving. And these are people who have convictions. And they're really putting their money where their mouth is.
Okay.
They are really doing their very best so that we can see lives changed. So from that, then And the more I meet different MPs, the more I meet different leaders of the party, the more I'm convinced that they are really people with integrity and who just want to serve with their best. So, I was sold.
Okay. So that sort of changed your mind, turned you around.
Yeah. If not, it used to be like, Akong says, you know.
Yeah.
Very much like that, right?
Okay.
Like, oh gosh, like, why are they coming down at us like this? But as I understood the rationale a bit more, as I understand the thinking behind, I totally get it.
And what do you hope to bring to the table here? I mean, now you will be in a position where you will be able to influence some change. What would you say is your pet area, so to speak? Because usually everyone comes in with a certain area that they want to help push further.
So my work has always been with younger people.
Yep.
So children from lower income families, youths, those who struggle with mental health issues. I think I really want to bring those concerns to Parliament.
Mm.
I've also been good at fostering collaborations, inspiring volunteers.
Okay.
I never knew I was so good at that until this thing came out. And then I was really, really touched. And they are anonymous. But after you kind of...
As in, you mean once you've announced you're running, you've had a lot of supporters come forward and...
Yeah, but they're anonymous folks. So I didn't even know. And my friends were screenshotting Reddit threads to show me.
What were they saying?
She really cares for volunteers and I'm inspired.
Okay.
And things like that. So I was like, oh, it's so nice, you know, to just even think that those things that you thought were very insignificant or you were just doing as a part of your job to serve them well and so that they could take care of the kids better. It meant that much to them that so many years after the fact, they would come up and write something like that on a Reddit that I didn't even get to see myself.
But you also do realize that these are your friends, so they're sending you the nice messages. There will be the flip side as well. And as we know, online, there will be all sorts of conversations happening. Mm. Are you ready for that?
I've already been experiencing that with my... How long she want to look at me? Minister Chee Hong Tat. So I think it's really good because you get to take the bouquets with the brickbats.
Yeah.
You must be able to open up all channels of communication and feedback. I don't want an echo chamber. That's something I'm deathly afraid of. Especially I think when you move up the ladder, you get more and more power. Sometimes you get surrounded by people who just parrot back.
Right.
What you hope to hear. So I think it's helpful. And from the feedback from that viral video, I've also learned how to just dial down the intensity a little bit.
But that all these things are not within your control. So no matter what you do, there will be always a spotlight on you. And what about your family? I mean, you have a young family, young children, your husband as well. Are they all prepared for this?
We had long chats about it. My husband is far wiser than me. So he already
That's why he's not in politics.
I think he would make a great politician if he ever got the chance to. But seems like I've been the one who's been called. And we all have our part to play in this. He's really supporting me back end, taking care of the family, taking care of my son. Mm-hmm. So we were very intentional to know that I'm not going to be putting up social media pictures of my son or my husband. We're just going to protect that private side of our lives. Although tonight we're going to have someone come into our house to film us. So
I'm not sure how long that protection will be. But we did, like any good person, when doing research and your name comes up, I did Google you and see what pops up, you know. So yeah, you have quite a low profile online. But all that is going to change quite a bit because, as you know, much of the race is fought online these days and you will have to up that game. I mean, what do you think? How do you feel about that? Because you're going to have to, play all the cards, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And I'm so excited because I've got such a dedicated team of volunteers supporting me and they're like the social media masters, right? So, honestly, never done a proper TikTok in my life.
Okay.
Now I'm getting ready to do that. You know, even captioning and stuff like that. I mean, it's always been done for friends and family. So now to kind of like be intentional in the messaging, I'll try and learn and hopefully that connects with the residents. That also gives them another feedback channel to reach out to me.
Okay.
And yeah, I want to hear from them.
Some folks who are listening in may be asking, you are saying all the right things. You know, you sound like all the typical candidates saying they're going to, you know, reach out to people, communicate, look out for their needs. What makes you different from everyone else? Why would someone look out for you and say, yeah, this lady, I'm going to vote for her?
Very good question. I think maybe because of my experience in the social services.
Okay.
It's really very, very people focused. It's really about building those relationships. I think I have those skills, but at the same time, it's not just about skills. It's really about who I really am. And I think maybe that's why it's also easier a little bit for me to connect with people. I mean, just on the cab right here.
Yeah.
I had a cabbie asking me, why am I going to MediaCorp?
Okay.
And then I said, oh, then I was a bit embarrassed, right? Yeah. I said, I'm the candidate for Bishan Toa Payoh and I'm going for an interview. And he was like, huh, baby! And I was like, oh, okay, then tell me about what issue you faced. And then it was like a mini MPS in the cab.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And after, at the end of it, he was so sweet. He offered me a sweet, asked me, do I need anything? Don't be worried, you're going to do fine. I will vote for you. I was like, wow, you know, from a cab, right? So I was floored. I was floored by the intensity of the connection. And these are the things that I really like doing. It's like what I like to do at work.
Okay.
And now I get to do it with residents. I've seen it with the aunties that I talk to also. So I'm excited.
What do you see as the challenges that you will be facing as you embark on this journey? Are there any fears, trepidations, things that you are concerned about?
You know, coming into this, you definitely feel a little bit of imposter syndrome.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you feel like you don't belong? Why?
I don't know if I can say stuff like that, but not quite cut from the same cloth, right? I am not a 4-star colonel. You know, I have very little policy experience.
Okay.
And sometimes I feel a bit unnerved thinking about how am I going to, you know, get a hand on all this policy stuff. What I know I'm good at is people. So I think the other muscle I need to start exercising is the policy part. So it's going to be a steep learning curve, but I'm here to learn.
So do you feel like you're not as polished, maybe don't have that, you know?
For sure. Yeah, my first media introduction.
Yeah.
So But I think, if I might say so myself, I think that's part of the charm. That's part of what makes me real. That's part of how I connect very authentically with residents. Also, even with the volunteers, they know what you see is what you get.
Okay.
I have no lines. I have no talking points. My husband said, get some talking points. I'm like, okay, I'll try. But none of them are coming out now.
But all that could change, because once you join an organization, once you join the party, there will be certain agendas and certain lines that you will have to toe.
I'm not sure. Because very wonderfully, you see, that's why they won me over. You know what they told me?
What?
I said, can I be honest with you? Can I tell you that I stand for this? I'm passionate about that. And they were like, sure, be yourself. I was like, really? Because even my husband doesn't quite want me to be myself. But you guys are saying be myself. I can really advocate for these things. I can really tell people that I care about. Yeah. And I was like, okay.
What if there comes a point when you are in a position and there are certain issues you may not agree with, but the party line may be to do this instead of that, and you are torn to decide or to have to say, choose a side, so to speak.
I thought about that really hard before saying yes. So one of my biggest convictions is that we really need the traditional definition of marriage in Singapore, meaning one man, one woman. And I think with the repeal of 377A, there's a lot of concern, I think, on my end, also about where society is going. And that was exactly what I was telling the party leaders when they had that meeting with me.
Okay.
And I said, can I say these things? You know, can I say that I disagree?
Sure.
They said, please go ahead and speak up. That's the reason why we want you.
But what if things change and it goes against what you believe in personally? How would you feel about that?
It's hard. It's definitely hard. But I think we, as I saw in the last debate, there were MPs who could stand up and say what they believed. And yes, ultimately, you might have to toe a certain line, but there's still room to express your views. And I think that's what I appreciate.
Okay, let me just ask you a bit about your family, because you have young children, right?
I'm one
child who's was it 2 years old? Or?
He's turning two in June.
He's turning two. Okay, wow. So, fun times. Well, I'm kind of glad my kids are older. But yeah, fun times, I say for you. Yeah, enough of those shows. Yeah, for sure. Are you concerned that you're going to also lose out on... You'll be missing a few moments. You're going to find your weekends burnt, you know, attending events and things like that. Mm. Yeah.
The cool thing about my family is that we kind of made it work. It's not like, you know, just because I was introduced a couple of days ago, then I only started doing this a couple of days ago. So we've started to find some kind of rhythm. And it helps that my husband is super supportive. So on the sidelines of an event, he and the baby are there waiting for me.
Okay.
They're not there. But then after that, immediately I get to go and see them and spend time together. So yeah, we're finding it possible to still kind of have it all.
Yeah. Okay, well, I hope you do manage to continue that, because, you know, as we know, it will be challenging and there will be many things on your plate. As we start to wrap things up, maybe just share with us. I mean, people have a bit of an insight to you now, but if there is something you would like to tell our listeners and our viewers, you know, about yourself and about, I guess, why you've embarked on this journey, what would that be?
I think it's the same thing I told the taxi driver uncle. I'm really here to serve. It's not, you know, TYS, 10-year series answer that you throw out, you know, just to win some votes.
Right.
I know the cost it would incur on my end, on my family's end. But I really, really believe that Singapore is worth it. I really believe that our residents are worth it. And that's why I want to do this.
Okay. And the area, just one more, and the area that you're now in, Bishan, right? You're saying?
Bishan, Toa Payoh.
Do you live in that area? Are you familiar with that space? And
yes. Yeah. So it's a little bit like a homecoming for me. I used to go and like stay over at my uncle's place where my cousins live and play Sega and watch Hong Kong Stephen Chow movies.
All right.
So familiar enough with the space. I live in Serangoon, so it's a stone's throw. So I'm very relieved that it's nearby. And yeah, really a neighbor coming in to help.
We hope you've enjoyed the conversation. And to our viewers, all of you listening in, thanks for listening and joining us. We hope you've enjoyed that. Stay tuned. We have many other new faces coming on Deep Dive for a chat with us as well. On that note, let me give a shout out to my team, Tiffany Ang, Junaini Johari, Joanne Chan, Sayawin, and Ellie Mansour. I'm Stephen Cha. See you on Deep Dive. Bye for now.